time for One Man's Family now, and then it'll be time for the Quiz Kids. A full hour of entertainment. One Man's Family, then the Quiz Kids.
One Man's Family, brought to you by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine pharmaceutical products for nearly three quarters of a century. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today we present Chapter 10, Book 74, entitled That Creighton Man Again. And now, may we present Mr. Sidney Strotz, Vice President of the National Broadcasting Company. Mr. Strotz.
This amazing radio institution, One Man's Family, which began its existence way back in the Dark Ages, almost before the memory of man, is still today one of the National Broadcasting Company's prized possessions. Naturally, it is prized so highly by NBC because it is prized so highly by the American family audience. For more than 18 years, you have heard the family a half hour once a week. And all these years you people have been writing us, why can't we have more of One Man's Family? Well, it is my pleasure to tell you that that time has now come. Beginning tomorrow evening, One Man's Family will be heard five nights a week, Monday through Friday. The National Broadcasting Company is delighted to join with the Miles Laboratories to make the Barber family available every weeknight. And at this time, I would like to congratulate Carlton E. Morse and the cast and production staff of One Man's Family on this new expanded adventure, and wish for them and Miles Laboratories and NBC another 18 years of good, honest, clean, healthy, down-to-earth family drama. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Strotz. And now, may we read a telegram from our sponsor, Miles Laboratories, to the author, cast, and production staff on One Man's Family. Miles Laboratories take the keenest delight in bringing One Man's Family to the American public 5 days a week because it is our sincere belief that the ideas of family relationships and home life, as promulgated through the characters of the Barber family, carry great weight in keeping this nation family-minded. We believe One Man's Family helps parents to understand children and children to understand parents. And we believe that so long as the American family remains the cornerstone of the United States, this nation will survive against all odds. May One Man's Family long remain a national institution. Our sincerest wishes for extended success. Miles Laboratories, Elkhart, Indiana. And now, in conclusion, Paul Barber has a word from Carlton E. Morse.
Dear cast and dear public, I have a short message for each of you. First to the cast. As we enter into our 19th year of broadcasting, we also enter into a new field of broadcasting. Five shows a week, Monday through Friday. This does not mean our audience is automatically going to love us five times as much. Believe me not. That is, unless the characters are five times as lovable and the story five times as interesting. Therefore, I see it as a new opportunity to set our minds and hearts and intentions on the prodigious project of charming and exciting the interest of five people where before we held one. I've loved you for your cooperation in the past, and I know that together we will accomplish this new feat. To the American public, which has been so generous and so loyal in the past, may I hope sincerely that this new One Man's Family story will be five times as satisfying as it has been before. Thank you most deeply, writer, producer, Carlton E. Morse.
On this pleasant Sunday afternoon in Seacliff, San Francisco, Cliff Barber, reading the Sunday papers on the upper terrace at the Barber family home, has just hailed his brother Jack, who now comes thoughtfully through the hedge.
What's the matter over at your house?
Huh? Kind of quiet over there this afternoon.
Three of the girls went to a birthday party. They'll be home pretty soon. Betty just went to get them.
Something got you down, fella?
No. I've been trying to figure something out. It's Wilma Burton's birthday. You know, a little girl, two houses down from Frome's?
Yeah.
She invited Sharon Ann and Mary Lou and Janie, all three of them.
That was nice of her.
Oh, sure, great. I bought three presents yesterday.
You mean presents for Wilma?
Yeah, three of them. Oh, not much, just little stuff. But three of them, Cliff. They each had to take a present. What I was trying to figure out, it won't be long until the triplets start going to birthday parties, too. That's six little girls all going to birthday parties.
What about it?
Well, look, Cliff, how many intimate personal friends would you say the average kid has?
Oh, I begin to see it.
Yeah, gets to be astronomical. Here I am with six daughters. Now, suppose they each go to, well, say a birthday party a month. That's 6 birthday parties every month, or 72 a year.
How many?
72. 6 times 12, isn't that right?
6 times... Oh, yeah. Huh?
Okay, then they each have to have a party. So add 6 more. That's 78.
Wow.
You know how women say, I haven't a thing to wear?
Yeah, I guess they do.
I'm going to have 6 of them saying it. 7 counting Betty. 7 women with nothing to wear and all those parties every year. I was trying to figure out what it might come to, but I broke my pencil.
Hey, wait a minute. You're wrong in your figures.
Where? You show me where.
Well, the triplets all have the same birthday, don't they?
Yeah, but...
Well, that's only 75 parties.
Uh-huh. But each triplet gets a present, don't forget. I've got to buy at least 78 presents a year any way you figure it. And if they get more and more popular and invited to more places... Well, golly, say they each turn out to have 10 intimate friends. That's 60 intimate friends, all with birthdays, plus their own birthdays. That's 66 birthdays a year. In 2 years, it's 132. 3 years, 198, and so on.
Jack! Jack! We're home!
Hmm?
Betty's calling.
Oh. Hi, Betty. I'm over here. I'm on a terrace with Cliff.
Stay right there. I'll come over.
Well, look, fella, maybe you're borrowing trouble. They may not get all those invitations.
I've been around long enough to know just one thing for sure. You never underestimate stuff. It's always more than you expected.
Hi, Cliff.
Hi.
Oh, Jack, it was a beautiful party.
That's good, Betty.
It was just superbly handled. The little hostess was simply beside herself. They had the magic lady, you know.
Who?
The magic lady.
Who's she?
She's the prettiest thing you ever saw, dressed like a fairy princess. She used to be an actress. She ran the whole party, gave out favors and helped them play games, and finally put on a magic show. She had a real live rabbit.
What do you know?
The kids were just as good as they could be.
Favors, did you say?
Yeah, they had toy favors for each child to take home.
Yeah? How many kids were there?
About 30.
30 kids, all with favors.
How much does the magic lady charge, Betty?
Yeah.
Oh, she doesn't bring the favors. The parents buy those.
But what does the magic lady charge?
Only $15. Imagine, she came before noon and helped with the luncheon and then just took over the party. I've got a card. Hey, Jack, let's have her next time we have a party.
Oh, hold on a minute. Betty, look, when you do a thing like that, you have to multiply it, see? It isn't once we do a thing, it's 6 times.
No, only 4, because the triplets have the same birthday.
Mm-hmm. 4 times 15. Okay, that's $60 right there. You add that to 132 birthday parties, and you say there were 30 kids there, each getting a favor? 6 times 30, that's 180 favors in addition to 132 birthday presents.
Jack, what in the world are you talking about?
I've been looking ahead, Betty, and I can't swing it. If I got to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, I couldn't swing it.
I don't know what you're saying, Jack.
From now on, we're just going to have family birthday parties. That's 4 a year. If we keep it down to just 4 parties a year, and I work hard, I may be able to send 6 little girls to college when the time comes. Hey, Cliff, let me have your pencil.
Friends, have you tried Bactine? No doubt you've heard about this remarkable new product because it has been hailed as a truly important discovery. Bactine, spelled B-A-C-T-I-N-E, is the new family antiseptic recently developed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Tabsin. Bactine is an antiseptic, bactericide, fungicide, and cleanser deodorant all in one. Bactine is a clear, colorless, non-staining liquid so powerful that it actually explodes germs, yet so soothingly gentle that it is ideal for use with children. You'll use Bactine as first aid for scratches, cuts, insect bites, sunburn, and heat rash. You'll find Bactine excellent for cleaning and disinfecting your hands when you're fixing baby's formula or caring for the sick, because Bactine makes hands surgically clean. You'll use it as a cleanser deodorant for household and sick room, because Bactine eliminates odors and destroys germs that often cause them. Now, we want you to become acquainted with Bactine and its many, many uses. So we're making you this trial offer. A regular full 30-cent size bottle of Bactine for just 10 cents. Here's all you do. Send 10 cents with your name and address to Miles Laboratories, Department 1, Elkhart, Indiana. Remember, send 10 cents to Miles Laboratories, Department 1, Elkhart, Indiana. Get your trial bottle of Bactine right away. We believe you'll be as amazed and delighted with Bactine as we are. Henry and Fanny Barber, walking on this same Sunday afternoon, have reached a point 3 blocks down and 2 blocks over, the home of Hazel Barber Murray, where Hazel greets them at the door.
Well, Well, how nice. Come in, both of you.
Hazel, I was telling your mother, people have forgotten all about the pleasures of a walk on Sunday afternoon.
I read somewhere the average woman walks 25 miles a day just keeping house.
Oh, come in and sit down.
Oh, we'll visit a while.
Where are Daniel and the children?
They're at the beach. They'll be back any time now. Sit down. Tired?
Oh, no, just a nice walk over here.
I was telling your mother, Hazel, nature, if we don't watch out, will presently evolve human beings who live and die in a sitting position.
Oh, Father.
Well, examine the day of the average person. Driving back of a wheel, sitting in a streetcar, sitting at the movies, sitting at a radio. We'll forget how to use our legs.
No woman forgets how to use her legs.
You have color in your cheeks, though, Mother. Did you good to be outdoors?
What's this? High school curriculum, eh, Margaret?
Uh-huh.
Quite a list here. Algebra, orientation, physical education, English, study hall, lunch period, girls' activities. Where is the history?
Well, she doesn't start that until the following year.
Now, Henry, don't find fault with the high school system. They know what they're doing.
One may hope so. Every day you hear how they can't spell, write, add, and they're non-readers. Yes. Progressive education. And none of the children knows anything.
Henry, if you get started on that, I'm going to walk home alone.
Yes.
Oh, Mother.
Remember his New Year's resolution, Hazel? He wasn't going to fuss. He forgot about it the middle of January.
Dan's been fussing too lately, Mother. It's the nature of the beast.
They just like to hear themselves talk. What's Daniel's trouble?
Oh, a parents' meeting at the high school. Mr. Wiggum, the principal, made an excellent speech, but Dan disagreed with it.
Yes, I'd probably disagree with it myself. What did he say?
Oh, the parents of high school children soon discovered to their sorrow that their children were ashamed of them. He advised facing the situation and accepting it with a sense of humor.
Ashamed of their parents. What a thing coming.
Now, Henry, let Hazel finish.
Well, that's about all. But it was very enlightening and brought back memories. You know, Hank and Pinky never did urge us too strongly to go to things at high school. Margaret wanted us to go to this meeting, but according to Mr. Wiggum, she'll get over that, too. He said it's a phenomenon of adolescence. Two worlds, the home and school. And if a high school youngster can have his way, never the twain shall meet.
I never heard of such a thing.
Mr. Wiggum said, however, it might be wise to sneak in once in a while and talk to the child's counselor.
Well, that's complete nonsense.
It's got so he doesn't approve of anything, Hazel. Not one blessed thing.
Fanny, I merely make an occasional observation on the period in which we are living.
Father, can't you take a joke?
I'll soon be afraid to open my mouth.
I doubt it, my dear.
I would like to comment on that bland assumption that children, our children, are ashamed of their parents. I'd like to say something about that. Well, then I'd be walking home alone.
Oh, I don't think it's that bad, do you, Mother?
Henry, what were you going to say?
Go ahead, Father.
I merely wish to take exception to the newfangled psychology which decides that children are ashamed of their parents. I don't believe it. My children were never ashamed of your mother and me, never, to my absolute knowledge. Why? Because we never did anything to shame them. That was the whole purpose of the way we have lived.
Well, no, I'm afraid you're wrong, Father.
Huh?
Of course he's wrong.
What's this?
It isn't shame exactly, Father. Embarrassment, rather. I'm not so old that I can't remember some of it myself.
Certainly.
What do you say?
Well, at the high school age, you're so desperately trying to prove that you're completely grown up. You want to disassociate yourself from your parents. And when they do turn up in your own new world, they look strangely quaint and antiquated. I think Mr. Wiggum's right. I can remember when you and Mother turned up for a high school play I was in. Mother insisted on wearing a hat I didn't like, and you carried your cane, Father. I was afraid people would think you were lame.
You fought like a tiger against that hat. I remember, Hazel.
And I'm going to go through the same thing next year with Margaret. She'll be ashamed of me.
And she won't approve of Daniel's suits. Not at all.
Oh, you've just forgotten how it really was, Father.
I think we'll walk on over to Claudia's now, if I may. Let's walk along over there and see what's doing at Claudia's and Nicholas's place.
Pretty soon, Henry. Now, don't be so restless. We haven't had a chance to visit with Hazel
yet. This is such a lazy kind of day, isn't it, Nicky?
Quite. We should have gone up to the Sky Ranch.
I know. But I hated to make an issue of it with Joan. She wasn't keen about going, and I didn't want to go away and leave her.
Of course, I didn't mean that. I meant it would have been nice had we gone.
Yes, Mr. Lacey.
Unusual?
Oh, Nicky, you do sometimes when you get so precise.
Huh? Is that what I am?
Well, whatever you are, I approve of you.
Thank you, my dear Claudia.
Oh, thank you. Oh. Well, school will soon be over, and then I'm sure Joan will be as anxious as we are to get up to the Sky Ranch. Right now, she's worrying about examinations and graduation and all the rest of it.
I say, do you suppose that's what's made her so quiet of late? She seems rather subdued to me.
Joan's subject to moods, as if you didn't know.
Oh, I didn't mean to imply that she's been anything but sweet.
We worry when she's subdued, and we worry when she goes off on a tangent. I guess parents just can't win.
Well, I must say, in all honesty, that I feel a bit more secure about her since the Joseph Creighton phase has faded into the background.
Yes.
I haven't heard her even mention the chap lately.
No.
I was quite right in the matter, if you'll forgive a bit of smartness on my part.
Very well. I'll forgive you.
I said from the beginning that if we bided our time, this infatuation with Creighton would pass and be forgotten.
Yes, Nicky, I know you did. And apparently you were right.
Apparently. Do you have a reservation about it?
No, not exactly.
But something. What?
Well, it's difficult to tell about Joan sometimes. She bottles up her feelings. And when she does, it's hard to know what's going on inside her.
Hmm.
But as you say, it seems to be all right, and I don't think we should borrow trouble. Why do we stay in the house when it's so lovely outside?
Shall we go out on the terrace?
Why don't we? Joan's sitting out there.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. She's reading.
Do you think she'll welcome the intrusion?
Well, we can promise to be very quiet. We live here too, Nicky.
Yes, but I believe in treading lightly. When the pond is placid, let's not throw rocks in it.
Well, maybe not a rock, but a pebble or two won't matter. Come on, let's go.
Madam, lead, and I shall follow you wherever you... Oh, we've been foiled by a visitor.
That's probably Mom and Dad. When I phoned home a while ago, Paul said they'd gone for a walk. Come on in. The door's not locked, Dad. Aren't you being awful... Oh.
I thought you said come in.
Why, I did.
Good.
I say, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Joe Creighton, remember me?
Of course. How are you, Mr. Creighton?
Yes, quite.
I seem to have given you a little start.
Well, I was expecting my mother and father.
And it turned out to be me. Would be a shock.
Yes. I mean, won't you sit down?
Yeah. It's quite a jaunt over here from California Street. Jean around?
I beg pardon?
Jean. She home this afternoon?
You mean our daughter, Joan?
Oh, yeah, Joan. Where did I get Jean from? I used to know a Jean in New Orleans. Yeah, I think she worked in a cannery. Then.
Joan is sitting out on the terrace. Was there something you wished to see her about?
Yeah, I owe her a quarter.
You what?
When she came to my studio, I borrowed a quarter from her to put in the gas thing to make some coffee.
Well, you didn't have to come all the way out here for that, Mr. Creighton.
Well, I didn't. Besides, I haven't got a quarter. I just wanted to let her know I hadn't forgotten I owed it to her. I keep track of my creditors. I get around to them sometime or other. A year, 2 years. Depends on how painting is going.
What are you painting now?
Nothing. That's why I'm here. Got a back fence you want painted?
What you called for, then, is to see about doing Joan's portrait. Is that it?
Well, you could talk me into it. My finances being what they are. Of course, I'd much rather do your wife here. Now, I could do something with her, I think. But you never can tell what'll come out on the canvas.
Yes, it must be hard.
Oh, no, it isn't that. Portraits bore me. But what's a fellow to do? Paint animals? Do you have any pets?
Not here.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that since I'm willing to sell my so-called talent down the river, I might as well go whole hog by painting a cat or a dog. And probably louse it up, though. You have to have a certain genius to do corny stuff. If I could do that, I'd paint covers for magazines or pretty dead fish on a plate.
Excuse me for laughing, but I think you're very amusing.
Oh, the sentiment doesn't seem to be shared by the gentleman of the house, however. I seem to be persona non grata as far as you're concerned, eh, Mr.
Lacey?
Yeah, that's right. My proposition doesn't meet with your approval?
Well, I'm not at all sure just what your proposition is.
Well, simple enough. I'm looking for a job painting something around here.
Yeah, quite. But if you recall, when we were first interested in having Joan's portrait done for her 18th birthday...
Some weeks ago.
Exactly. When you made your first visit here. Following that, we became quite concerned over Joan's conduct.
You mean you worried about her coming to see me down in my studio?
Oh, no, not really, Mr. Creighton. Joan told us quite frankly what took place. In fact, her pride was severely hurt. She said you practically threw her out.
Not that we'd have had you act in any other way. I'm grateful that you didn't make her welcome. The fact that you behaved like a gentleman, shall we say.
Yeah, let's say that. Only it'd be wrong. I'm not one of your old school tie boys. I threw her out because I didn't want to get in a jam.
In any case, we don't want to revive anything that might cause Joan any further unhappiness. We were congratulating ourselves just before you came in on the fact that she got onto an even keel again.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you can forget the whole thing. Sorry I took up your time. Tell Joan I'll send her the quarter sometime.
Oh, please don't go. I'm sure she'd be most unhappy if she knew you had called and we didn't tell her you were here. Nicky.
Yes, my dear?
Please call Joan. I think we should hear what she has to say before we tell Mr. Creighton anything too definite.
Very well, Claudia. But there are certain matters I want to make quite clear before we make any commitment.
Yes, Nicky, but do ask her to come in.
Very well.
Mr. Lacey is Joan's stepfather, but he's extremely fond of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joan told me about him.
Oh?
When I was her age, I hated my family. They were always in my hair.
Yes. How long have you been in San Francisco?
Too long. No, I like the town, all right, but, well, I begin to get claustrophobia if I stay in one place over a long stretch. I kicked a hole in everything I've painted the last couple of months. Stank. Need to get away. Thinking of going to... Oh, hello there, Jean. Joan.
Hello.
Come and sit down, Joan, dear.
She was almost asleep sitting out there in the sun.
I was getting pretty warm. Yes, your cheeks are red.
I've explained about the quarter I owe you. I haven't forgotten it, but I can't pay it today.
I'd just as soon forget about it.
Yes. About your proposition.
I suppose you want to know how much I'd charge for a portrait.
Yes, I would.
Well, as much as I think I can get. Of course, I realize I've weakened my position by coming here and asking for the job. The fact that I'm broke and you know it isn't going to help matters any. I'm a rotten businessman.
Oh, we wouldn't let that influence us, Mr. Creighton. If we decide to go through with it this time, we would expect to pay your regular fee.
May I make certain things clear at the outset before we go any further?
Yes, Nicky.
Shoot. If we engage you, I'll insist that you work here in our home. I wouldn't care to have Joan going to a studio to pose.
Anything goes. All I'm interested in is a job. You name it. Cats, dogs, a vase of roses on a repulsive shawl.
Look here. If you're not interested, we'll drop the whole thing.
Who said I wasn't interested?
You're the one who came to us, you know. I don't look upon this as a lark. We'd want a conscientious effort on your part.
May I say something?
Of course, Joan. We didn't mean to exclude you from the conversation.
Oh, by no means. This is to be your portrait, and I think we should hear your ideas.
I don't want it done. Will you forget it, please?
Oh, of course, Joan. We thought...
I know. I appreciate your wanting to do it. That part's fine.
Well, Joan, that's all there is to it. If you don't want it done, that settles it, so far as I'm concerned.
Okay, let's leave it that way. If you'll excuse me, I want to go up and put some cream on my face. Feels hot.
Of course, dear. Are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just fine. I'm sorry to beat you out of a job, Mr. Creighton, but that's the way I feel about it.
Okay. Actually, I think you did me a favor, Jean.
Joan. My name is Joan. You might at least remember that.
Oh, please, darling.
I think you're the most impossible man that ever lived, Joseph Creighton.
Honey, I've had a lot of girls tell me that.
And I'm not a girl. I can't tell you how much I hate you.
Oh, just a minute, Joan.
Please stay there, Claudia. I want to be alone.
Oh, really? This is most embarrassing.
I think you'd better go, sir. I believe there's nothing further for us to discuss.
Yeah, I really stirred up something, didn't I?
I'm awfully sorry, but you can see now that what we said about Joan is true. She is high-strung.
My dear, it's apparent that further explanations are unnecessary. Do you have a hat, Mr. Creighton?
No. Don't crowd me. I'm leaving.
Will you be able to get downtown all right?
Now, don't worry about me. I'll get back the way I came. The old stomach.
Oh, I do feel we ought to. Couldn't we?
You're trying to find a way to slip me some money.
Well, we certainly don't want you to go hungry, Mr. Creighton.
Now, don't worry. I won't starve as long as Alice holds a job in the restaurant. And tell Joan I'll mail that quarter to her sometime. Huh?
Quite unnecessary. Let me see you to the door.
Goodbye, Mr. Creighton.
So long.
I'm sorry it turned out this way.
Oh, it's been fun. In an odd sort of way.
Goodbye, Miss Creighton.
Yeah, be seeing you.
Well, rather not, wouldn't you say?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Just an expression. I didn't mean that as a promise. Or I guess you'd call it a threat. So long.
Goodbye.
Well, what a day this turned out to be.
Oh, there's one thing. We won't have to worry about Joseph Creighton anymore. And that's a great load off my mind.
Yes, that's the way it looks, at least.
Looks? My dear, it's over. His ghost is laid. Didn't you hear what Joan said? She hates the man.
I wonder.
What's that?
Nicky, don't you know enough about women to realize they often say the very opposite of what they feel?
blocks down and two blocks over at the Murray home, Hazel's son Hank, who plans to become a doctor, has just come home from school. His stepfather Dan is in the living room.
Hi, Dan.
Oh, hello, son. Well, Hank, how was the chocolate soda?
Huh? How do you know I had a soda?
Power of observation, my boy. I see you have a package from Jameson's drugstore. I know a hungry boy on his way home from school does not stop in Jameson's drugstore without pausing for refreshment. Right?
Pretty good, Dan. Okay, Hawkshaw, if you're so good, tell me what's in the package. I'll give you a clue. It's a present from Mom.
Hmm. It gurgles. Cologne?
Nah, you're ice cold. It's a bottle of Bactine.
Bactine?
Yeah. This morning after gym class, the coach put some in the first aid cabinet, and he told us guys to be sure and use it if any of us caught athlete's foot. You know how you can get it around shower rooms?
Yeah.
So I thought Bactine would be a nice present for Mom.
Yes, Hank, your mother will appreciate that. In case any of us are unfortunate enough.
Oh, no, Dan. It's not just for athlete's foot. Gosh, Bactine is terrific for hundreds of things. It's first aid for cuts and burns and scratches and things, and it's good for sunburn and insect bites and poison ivy.
All that?
Yeah. Bactine's a new medical discovery, Dan. A real powerful antiseptic and germicide. You know what? This stuff is so great, doctors can use it to make their hands surgically clean. But... well, maybe it is a funny kind of present.
No, you take my word for it, Hank. It's a wonderful present. Nothing will make your mother happier than to know her future M.D. is already looking after the family health.
And believe me, Bactine can be a very important factor in family health. Bactine, spelled B-A-C-T-I-N-E, is a new family antiseptic that is truly sensational. Now, we want you to try Bactine. We want you to find out for yourself just how wonderful this new product is. Listen to this liberal trial offer. Send 10 cents with your name and address to Miles Laboratories, Department 1, Elkhart, Indiana, and you'll receive a full 30-cent bottle of Bactine. Once you've tried it, you'll discover that Bactine is a must on the family medicine shelf. So act today. Send for your trial bottle of Bactine. That's 10 cents with your name and address to Miles Laboratories, Department 1, Elkhart, Indiana. You've just heard Chapter 10, Book 74 of One Man's Family, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse for Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, and many other fine pharmaceutical products for nearly three quarters of a century. Starting tomorrow evening, you will hear One Man's Family daily, Monday through Friday. Listen tomorrow for the opening chapter of Book 75, The Book of Joan. Remember, One Man's Family daily, beginning tomorrow evening. Consult your paper for time and station. Are you catching cold? Take Tabsin, quick. Feel better, quick. T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabsin. The new improved antihistaminic tablet for cold and hay fever symptoms. Tabsin relieves sniffles and sneezes. Tabsin helps relieve the aches and pains of a cold. Tabsin acts to reduce the fever of a cold. Yes, for more complete relief from your cold symptoms, take Tabsin, quick. Feel better, quick. T-A-B-C-I-N. Tabsin, the bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. Listen here next week at this time for a new radio program, The Truett. And now the family invites you to stay tuned for the Quiz Kids, who follow immediately over most of these stations. One Man's Family comes to you from California. Stay tuned for Mystery Today, The Big Guy and the Falcon on NBC.